Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 56. And we are here tonight with the lovely Emily Youkiss, as well as the also lovely Jason, no white guilt. So it's going to be a very, very good show tonight. Now, I know over the last few weeks, everyone has got absolutely sick and tired of talking about coronavirus. But thankfully, we have another news story to talk about tonight, and no prizes for guessing what that is. And we are dedicating the whole show to that particular topic. So if you do want to send any questions or super chats, please keep them focused on this particular topic because it is very, very important. And I believe on Friday evening, myself and Laura Towler will be doing a special stream on this channel to talk about the riots, to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, to talk about this whole take a knee nonsense, and talk about it from the perspective of Patriotic Alternative and what our policy is on that. But before we get into the show, firstly, I'd like to say, if you would like to contribute to the show, that means financially, or if you want to ask questions, please use Entropy. The link is in the description below. The link is also on my Twitter. It's on my Telegram, and I am posting it in the live chat now. That is the way to send super chats. All super chats are read out live on the show. It is also the place to ask questions. If you ask a question or make a statement, the best questions and statements are voted up through the night, and they are also asked or read out on the show, depending if it's a question or a statement. If you would like to contribute financially to the work that I do, you can do so in other ways. The first is via Bitcoin. The Bitcoin address is in the show description, or you can send me an email to mark@thefallofwesternman.com. And if you just want to write to me, ask me a few questions, talk to me, or if you need any advice, you can also write to me there. And I usually reply to messages within a working day, unless, however, your message is just a link or is a circular. I don't reply to links or circulars. So that is the way to contribute to the show, to contribute financially, or to get in touch with me. Now, Jason, my friend, what have you been up to this week? It's good to see you safe and sound. Have you been taking a knee?
Absolutely not taking a knee for this anti-whiteism that is taking place and despicable to watch the culmination of exactly what we have predicted. And I say culmination, really, this is the more or less the beginning of the rolling hot, cold, hot war that is anti-whiteism against us. But you all can find me at nowhiteguilt.org and theafterparty.tv. And a big hello to Emily. Thank you for being here with us, dear lady, and everyone in the chat. Pass it back to you, brother.
Well, this is the quickest intro we've ever done, but that's good because there is so much to talk about tonight. So now I'm going to introduce our special guest, who is the lovely Emily Youkiss. Now, Emily is a celebrity in her own right. She is a talented animator. She is a fantastic content creator, and she produces some of the best and the funniest content on our side of the political fence. I'm already subscribed to her BitChute account. You should be. And if you're not, you can get her BitChute account link in the show description. I suggest everyone hops over there because her content is often so funny and so hot. It is too hot for YouTube. And unfortunately, lots of things are going to get too hot for YouTube very, very shortly. I'm sure after all of these disturbances, things are going to get a lot worse. But Emily's been with us for some time. It's always been a great regret of mine that we haven't had her on the show because her cartoons like Alfred Alpha and also her fantastic coronavirus rap, which when I first saw that, I did laugh a lot, and I listened to it more. I've got to admit, I listened to it more than once. Absolutely superb. And things like that always are very, very uplifting. And it's great to have somebody as talented as her in our movement. So please, Emily, introduce yourself. Say a little bit about yourself. Say whatever you want about your work. Plug it. Tell us where we can find you. And also, most importantly, how we can contribute to your excellent work.
Hello, Mark. Hello, No White Guilt. Thank you so much for having me on. It is a true honor and pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for the very nice intro. That was very, very kind of you. Yeah, I'm an animator. I've been animating content since 2005 and uploading stuff on newgrounds.com. I've always tried to like push the boundaries of like edginess or offensive content, animation, and my stuff has always been repeatedly banned off of YouTube and the internet. And like you said, I finally have a home for it on my BitChute channel. So everyone go check that out. And yeah, I first came into the scene in late 2015. I started researching stuff on Poll. I don't know, something just snapped. I was living in Philadelphia at the time, and I was living in a pretty bad neighborhood. And I guess something just snapped, and I started going on Poll and just like kind of, you know, red-pilled myself through the threads. And yeah, just, you know, once you get on there, it's kind of hard not to figure everything out. So yeah, that's about it. And oh yeah, well, I don't know what else you want to talk about.
Well, it's actually the last, this is actually the first time I've seen you on a stream that's been devoted just to you since your notorious stream with JF Garapay, which was the legendary car crash to end all car crashes of streams. So have we all gotten over that, or are we all still sore about that?
Oh yeah, that's right. So I did, I guess I did the JF show in 2018. He wanted me to be his co-host. And, you know, I didn't want to get into that whole internet blood sports thing. That wasn't really my scene, but he like promised me some super chats. So I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And then I guess, you know, I was too naughty for YouTube. I don't know what I said. It was stuff that I didn't really think was a big deal. I'm going to try and be on my best behavior on this show, obviously. But, you know, no hard feelings for JF. He actually did give a rave review to my coronavirus video, which I was actually surprised about. He said it was really great, and he watched it a lot of times, and he's a fan of Busta Rhymes, so he understood what the parody was from. And yeah, he said it was funny and very, very well done, and that he respected me as an artist. So I was pretty surprised about that. So thank you, JF. And yeah, no hard feelings.
Well, that's good to hear. And we are obviously a free speech channel. We host lots of very, very marginalized people. We had Dr. David Duke on the other week, and the show, I told you before the show, the show was actually put into limited state mid-show, and we carried on without any live chat, which was possibly the craziest show we've ever done. So I'm not sure if we're going to top that tonight, but we do have a lot of people watching, and I'm sure that many people are here for your good self, but many people will be here to talk about the big issue of the day, which is, of course, the fact that America is on fire and white people the world over are being told, go out of your homes at 6 p.m., get on your knees, and essentially beg to people of color for your continued right to exist. This is the most absurd thing that I've ever heard.
And is this really happening tonight?
I'm going to read this. I try to stay off my phone, but this was trending on Twitter earlier. Take the knee.
Oh my God.
Alongside my colleagues in Ayrshire Police, we take the knee to show our support and solidarity. And this is police in Scotland. Now, I've got to say this. The police in Britain are complete scum. They actually cover up the sexual abuse of white girls at the hands of Muslim men. But here they are taking the knee for a convicted violent criminal who held a woman at gunpoint as he robbed her house. The police in Britain, complete joke, complete scum. But we were meant to be outside our homes at 6 p.m. kneeling. Now, I can say no one on my street took a knee, which was very, very good. I popped out with my daughter to have a look to see if anyone was taking a knee so we could laugh at them. But no one was, so that was very good. And I think I don't think many people will have done this. But what are your thoughts on this, Emily? How do you think this is playing out in America? We're obviously going to talk about how this is going to affect Trump, how this is going to affect communities in the future. But what are your initial thoughts on this? Just jump off wherever you wish.
All right. Well, I mean, it's absurd. I mean, basically, it's a call for global white submission. And it's not buried at all. It's in plain text, in plain sight. Literally, how physically submission to blacks the calling for the complete submission of the white race. And, you know, this is real accelerationism right here. I mean, they're really, they're not being subtle about this at all anymore. You know, basically America is an experiment. It was a racial experiment to like Babylon to bring all of the races here, and it has failed. And we are witnessing the failure and the destruction of the great experiment of the United States. It's evil. You know, they should never have been brought here. I'm against slavery. As someone who is thoroughly anti-slavery, I am against the blacks being brought to the United States, and I am thus for an all-white America. So, you know, we shouldn't have meddled. We shouldn't have gone into Africa. I've said my thoughts on Africa before, and I have a very famous catchphrase. I'm not going to say it right now, but I'm sure everyone can know, and the chat can, of course, say it. So, you know what I would want to do to Africa. I've only been proven right. I've been proven right, and I stand by that statement. And I've only become more radicalized over the past 2 years since I've been on the JF show. I might be a bit more well-behaved and more refined, but my beliefs have only been solidified during these past 2 years, even with all of the constant beratement of the people in the movement and all the traitors that have been turning against us and saying that this is all cringe and that we're all, a bunch of LARPers and all that bull crap. Well, what are these people saying right now as they watch, the white race being called into submission? And, you can't ignore it. It's in your face. What are you going to say about that? I mean, we have no choice but to band together and rise up and, not do anything illegal. Obviously, I mean, we don't have to do anything illegal because basically we just sit back and watch it all happen, sit back and watch everything burn. And this is the best thing that can happen to wake up the white race. I mean, it's glorious. We didn't have to do a thing. They're trying to goad us in chats and saying, why won't you go out there and, mow down a bunch of these people and, set some bombs off. And, we're too smart to fall for that crap.
Well, if anyone doubts the madness, I just want to share this with you. This is what Twitter looks like tonight. So here we go. I don't know if the chat will be able to hear this because sometimes the audio comes over a little bit low. But here is a particularly obnoxious woman. She seems to be banging her saucepan. So this is what we've got. We've got, let's have a look. We've got Paloma Faith. We've got, I think she's somebody who's apparently famous. Here's Ayrshire Police. This is Ayrshire Police. They've got no criminals to catch tonight, guys. They're too busy taking the knee to a convicted criminal. A policewoman outside Downing Street right now. She's submitting. The London Fire Brigade, they're submitting en masse. People should remember these people. Here's some random fat woman. She's submitting too. She's also submitted to one too many cheeseburgers by the looks of things. Here's some more police officers. You know, they were probably turning a blind eye when white girls were getting dragged away to be molested and sexually abused, but he's taking the knee too. So there, you get the idea, and you get the idea as well that what you're seeing here is unprecedented. This is submission on a level that we've never seen before. And I don't know if you've seen this, but the media are reporting this all as peaceful protests, as people finding their voice, this being about justice. But one thing that I've noticed a lot throughout all of this, the media are not covering the fact that these people aren't just rioting. Now, I expected them to riot. I expected the African-American community to go out and burn everything down and loot as much as they could carry. But they're actively hunting down white people as well. And I've posted half a dozen videos to my Twitter feed of white people being brutally beaten by mobs. And this is all happening. And the media and the press, even the so-called right-wing press, are completely ignoring these brutal racist attacks on whites. And the interesting thing to see is some of the white people who are being attacked are even supporting them. There's a video on my Twitter at the moment of two white lads who are banging on their windows, giving the black mob thumbs up, only for the black mob to hurl bricks through their windows and the whites to meekly shout, "But we support you, we're on your side," only for another brick to come through the other window. And it's absolutely insane. White people now are not only cucked, they're not only taking the knee, but they're begging people who are smashing up their properties. And I know that for a long time we've said that eventually this multicultural society will break down, but I have never seen a breakdown quite like this. What do you think? Both of you chime in here. Emily, you go first, then Jason. What do you think about these whites that are being beaten? What do you think about the whites who are out there cheering for these black mobs only to take a righteous thrashing from them despite their cowardly support for these criminals and looters?
Well, that video, that little clip there, pretty much sums up the entire situation in about 10 seconds, of the white and black race relations. It's no surprise to me because I have experienced black on white violence firsthand by living in the Philadelphia ghetto for 8 years. I'm not living there anymore, thankfully, but I went to Temple University in the middle of Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I went to art school in Temple University. And anyone who's been to Temple knows that it's basically a little college in the middle of the North Philadelphia hood. And, you know, you walk two blocks off of campus and it is 100% black, you know, for miles and miles as far as the eye can see. So that was just the start of it. And while on college, during my time there, black on white violence was a very regular thing. The students would routinely be subject to harassment, and there were these gangs going around. They would be called knockout gangs. And if you went a little too far off of campus, a big group of teenage black people would come and just like punch out a white person. And that was like a common occurrence. And they would, you know, send us a little text message on our phones, like attack on, you know, 9th and Diamond, don't go there, gunshot wound. And it's just like, you get in, it's like, okay, here's another one. And they never really did anything about it. Yeah, I've witnessed it firsthand for years. And then, you know, I worked as the Philadelphia pistachio girl at the Philadelphia Phillies baseball stadium. I was a nut vendor there, and I sold pistachios and peanuts and beer to the masses at the Philadelphia Phillies stadium. Good white down-home Americans, you know. And they loved me, and I became a beloved fixture at the park. But during those 8 years, you know, the pay isn't that great, so I had to live where I could. So I lived in the inner city, and I lived in some very bad neighborhoods. They got a lot worse. I was like at the tip of the iceberg. I lived like the best that I could afford, you know, and basically feared for my life and my safety for the entirety of those 8 years living in Philadelphia. And I've witnessed so many things. I mean, I could tell so many stories about what happened down there. And of course, that was a big part of my red pilling and like a final wake up call, because, you know, I actually had sympathy for these people in the beginning. Like, you know, in college, I was pretty indoctrinated, not as indoctrinated as a lot of people. I actually like one time wore like a Confederate flag bandana around the campus, and I went into the lunchroom thinking it was cool in 2008. And like a black lunch lady came over and yelled at me, and I was like, why should I have to take this off? Like, what the heck? Yeah, I have stories upon stories, Mark, so we could go into that.
Before we do, Jason, what are your thoughts on this, my friend? I mean, this has got to be unprecedented, not just because of the ferocity of the riots, but also because of the way they've spread across the whole of America. And once we've gone through this, I think it'd be very interesting to talk about between the three of us, Trump's response to all this. But before Jason gives his points, we've got loads of people watching tonight, but please make sure you like and share the stream. We could well have record numbers here tonight, which would be huge. And to have our stream as one of the top trending streams on YouTube pushing back against this anti-white narrative would be absolutely fantastic. So do your part. Just give it a like and share. Over to you, Jason.
All right. Well, a couple things are coming to mind with what's happening. First of all, every single thing that's happening right now, we predicted. This is the consequence of decade upon decade of indoctrinating people with anti-white ideology. The reality is, I guess, first of all, I think, Emily, did you actually say, and then I just want to verify, did you actually refer to America as a racial experiment, or did I hear you wrong there?
Yeah, I refer to it as the grand failed racial experiment.
Okay. Well, that's actually a really great, and then another thing you said there, and this is I'm going to demonstrate here the difference and how we are going to continue to lose, no matter how many cities they burn, no matter how many white women they gang rape and leave for dead in their cars and everything else that's happening, no matter how many police they run over, no matter how many buildings they torch, homes they invade, it doesn't matter. No matter how many videos of them that say that they're here to kill white people, to destroy our civilization, we're going to keep losing. Because the majority of the population of our white brothers and sisters out there all around the world are not going to be of the type of mind, if you will, the free mind that we have here in the very artistic and talented Emily, that will be able to say something like America was a racial experiment, a failed racial experiment. And the other thing I think you said, Emily, was that we were wrong to enslave people. The majority of our people, when they think these thoughts, they think that we are of a demon race, and they think that they owe forever and ever. If our people are to be free, they have to go free. They have to speak in a vocabulary that enables them to think in a way that they can ask the right questions and therefore get the right answers. Of course, America was never a racial experiment. It was founded by white people for white people. They specifically said white people in some cases, but in most cases they didn't, because it was just implied. It's like implied that we breathe air. We don't have to say that we always need air. It was just something that was self-evident. The other thing is speaking about historical events from the point of view of the anti-white narrative, and then taking ownership for the wrongdoing committed by whites, which was perfectly natural and normal, practiced in a shorter period of time by the white race than any other race on planet Earth, which was, of course, the pernicious and evil institution of slavery, an institution that white people put an end to. So our people are going to need to think about our world, understand our place in it, according to the narrative that we write, which is a narrative in which I say that we are the heroes. The anti-whites are the enemies. They are the victimizers. They are the destroyers. A great example of what's happening right now, and the reason why we won't win, no matter how bad it gets, unless we go free, is what is everybody, even those on our side, even those who care about our white people, what are we calling these folks in the streets? Well, in some cases, we're even calling them protesters, which is really asinine. But then the default that the anti-white regime will give you is a rioter or a looter. Well, this, of course, undermines a great many things that would work in our favor if we had any sense whatsoever to spread something that is logical and salubrious for our people. If we say that they are rioters or looters, we are diminishing their culpability in the destruction of Western civilization and the white erasure of Western kind. If they are a rioter, then they're just destroying property. If they're a looter, then it's just an individual who is stealing something for himself. What's actually happening here is DC has been for the past numerous nights now, right down the road from where I am, and many other cities across the United States. They are being attacked by destroyers, anti-white destroyers, anti-white battalions that are in the streets telling everyone exactly why they're doing the things that they're doing, randomly attacking innocent white people where they find them, pulling down statues over the course of the night, specifically targeting historical sites, and torching them, specifically targeting our churches and torching them, specifically targeting any organization that gets in the way of the anti-white fulfillment of victimizing Western kind and white erasing us from our own civilization. So conservative groups, Republican offices, breaking into these places, setting fire to them, getting the records of their employees so that they can harass these employees. This is a war being waged by anti-white troops that have been trained for decades upon decades to behave this way. They're being financed. They're being organized. This is not rioting. This is not looting. This is not somebody just getting a pair of sneakers. And no, none of our people are going to rise up and say, well, they're going to start fighting for Western kind if we continue to live inside of the anti-white narrative, because they will continue to think about the world in the terms of that the anti-whites have set, which means that they're going to have to get on their knees and apologize. So until these people, until we as a community get the language, the dialectics, and the lexicon of going free to these people, I predict a great many more knees being taken. I predict a great many more prayer vigils. I predict in the United States, we've had commanders in the military going out into the mobs and praying with the mobs, saying that we are with you. This was all completely predictable. And now that we have anti-whites in positions of authority, now that we have them as police chiefs, now that we have them as heads of the county councils and things like this, we have them siding with the rest of the anti-whites in the streets, with the malefactor anti-whites in the streets, the destroyers. So the destroyers are not only in the streets, ready to come into your home, ready to burn down your civilization, ready to target the daughters of the revolution and all of these sorts of historical documents and set them alight. But we also have the highly educated lawyers and the like throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers being murdered. And what's happening? What are the white people seeing in the United States? We're seeing a government that where there are white people who give a damn, they're giving a damn within inside of the anti-white narrative. And so therefore they cannot think in a way that will end up in a conclusion that benefits us, that secures our well-being. Every one of our cities is afflicted this way, and it's spreading beyond the borders of the cities. No flag is going to be raised and put an end to this. Nobody is going to step up and say enough is enough, as long as we're thinking that, yeah, we did slavery, but we shouldn't have, and now it's over, it's in the past. Everybody did slavery. When they say in their arguments out in the streets that we're doing this because of, and then they name systemic racism, you cannot be inside of their story and defend that. You cannot be on the side of their story and push back against that. So no, nothing is going to get better. It's going to get a lot worse until people go free. And honestly, if you want the actual answer for what Trump could do, if he's going to remain inside the anti-white narrative and everybody else is going to be remaining inside of the anti-white narrative, the only thing that he could do here that makes any sense is to step up in front of the microphone and give a full capitulation to every single demand by the anti-whites, and then use force, overwhelming force in the streets to take back the streets for the present, so that people can go back to shopping, because that's all that matters to them.
Well, I'm going to give a little bit of perspective here. For 20 years, I've been saying that we as a people need to be left alone. We need to live alone. We need to live amongst our own. And I've said that people of other ethnicities on a large scale can never live with us, because it will always end in tears. It will always end in trouble. And most importantly, it will always end in a situation where we as white people become second-class citizens, where we as white people end up as the victims. And we're seeing this now on an unprecedented level. And to all of the people who over the last two decades have told me, don't say that, Mark. You know, by saying the things you're saying, you'll never get anywhere in politics. We've got to toe the line. We've got to pretend it's about space, not about race. We've got to pretend that race isn't an issue. We've got to be civic nationalists. We've got to welcome these people and get them on board. Well, to all the people who said that to me, what do you say now? America is on fire. The multiracial experiment has failed. These people are not like us. We are not like them, and we cannot live together. The other day on Twitter, I said, if a young couple called Tom and Sarah had been trying to live together for 4 years, and every single day, all they did was fight, all they did was argue, all they did was fall out, everyone would be saying, look, guys, it's not working. You need to separate. You need to go your own way. Well, for 400 years, America has tried to live a multiracial life. It's tried to be a melting pot, and it has failed. And the more of a melting pot it becomes, the more it fails. This isn't about more integration will solve the problem. No, more integration, more of these people coming in, these people breeding at a greater rate, will exacerbate the problem. It is time for a peaceful separation before there is all-out war and violence. Now, I don't believe it will ever come to all-out war. And the reason I don't believe it will come out to all-out war is because there's far too many of our people that won't identify as people of European descent, who will take the knee, who will meekly lie down and allow themselves to be brutalized by these people because they feel so much white guilt. But this is a turning point, not just because of the level of violence, but because this absolutely shatters the civic nationalist position. This absolutely shatters the position held by the MAGAtards, who, shockingly, I see people on Twitter who are more worried about black voters than they are about telling the truth. There are people now wearing MAGA caps that are trying to somehow say, well, actually, this is all the fault of Antifa. This isn't the fault of black people. Black people should be voting Republicans. The real racists are the Democrats. It's just nonsense. Are people still that desperate for a few votes? Are they still that desperate to turn these rioting mobs into Republican voters? Are they still that deluded that they think these rioting mobs will turn into Republican voters? Because they're not going to. They're not going to. You might get the odd outlier who agrees with Donald Trump or the Republicans, or who makes a good point about race relations in America. But for the most part, the vast majority of these people have shown their intention. They've shown what they are because they're out burning down everything that catches fire and looting anything that isn't bolted to the floor. In fact, I've seen a video today over on Devon Stack's Instagram where you've got two of these guys with crowbars ripping a cash point out the wall. So even if it is nailed down, they'll have a go and try and take it. It's insane. But what is the Republican response? What is Donald Trump doing? Why isn't he acting? Why isn't somebody calling in the military? Because are they literally going to let the whole of America burn to the ground before anyone says enough is enough? What do you think, Emily? What are the MAGAtards up to? Will Trump act, or will he be his usual cowardly self and not act? Because I can imagine Trump acting. The point Trump will actually do something, when Trump actually does something, it'll be the point where they're knocking on the Oval Office door, he's crawling under the table, hiding, and furiously texting to Twitter for the military to come and help him. You see, he didn't do anything about social networks, did he, until they started censoring him. Then he acted. And I wonder what it will take to get him to act in this case.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because they literally set the church across the street from the White House on fire. So if that's not close enough for him. I don't know what's going to be. I mean, honestly, at this point, I would suspect if the blacks invaded the White House and came in there and said, hey, yo, submit Trump, Trump would take a knee. Trump is making us all take a knee. He's endorsing us all to take a knee. He is allowing the media to do these blackouts. Even on Nickelodeon, if you turn on Nickelodeon, there's stuff that says, there was hashtag I can't breathe. And like, I stand with Black Lives Matter on freaking Nickelodeon, instilling white guilt on toddlers. And, you know, Trump would, if he's not a hypocrite, he would get right down on his knees himself and let them kill him. They would kill him. And then he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wouldn't do anything about it. So I don't know.
What do you think, Jason?
If I could say really quick, first of all, I do have to say also about Emily, that song was hilarious. I really enjoy. I probably listened to that thing 20 times in a row. I thought it was so funny. Well,
the coronavirus video.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah. That's taking you know, black music and using it as a weapon against them, like Moon Man. But yeah, you know,
and you're like the female
a white female doing that in a way that, and it didn't have to be, you know, it's sort of ridiculing also this, we're so tough because we live on your welfare and we use drugs, of rap music, this whole group of fools that we've been, I guess since it's been like the 70s, they've been pushing this down our throats that they're real. You see, they're real people, you know, and they're extra tough because they're willing to murder without compunction and use drugs and sell drugs and live on your welfare. So that makes a real man. But yeah, I loved how the whole thing was just fantastic.
Oh,
but
thank you.
I do want to say about Trump and the conservatives is, again, this is absolutely predictable and sickening to watch as on Fox News and with these rest of the Republicans, as they attempt, since they're not going free, since they're living inside of the anti-white narrative. And like I said, it's going to be a special person. I'm sure there are plenty in this audience right now. It's going to be a special person like Emily, who's going to be able to say, well, look, enough is enough. I don't care how many atrocities you claim that we committed as a people. I just don't care anymore. The majority of our people are going to care. And we see that in the conservatives. We see that in the patriots. We see that in the nationalists. We see, and this is the, you know, the typical patriots and nationalism of yore. We see this idea now to attempt to usurp or co-opt part of the anti-white narrative, part of the anti-white story here, saying that, no, we're the ones who actually care about Floyd, an individual with a long arrest record, who, of course, had several different types of amphetamines in his system, also drunk, also responsible for doing something that brought the police into his midst and ended up getting arrested. That was all, of course, his responsibility. But you see the sickening saccharine effort by these conservatives and these patriots to try to step up Trump, the Donald, the idiot, to step up now and say, no, we're the ones who actually care about the black police officers, because that's all that matters, is the non-white police officers that have been killed. All that matters is the non-white people that have been put out. All that matters is their stores or their properties. And the conservatives will never tire of telling you how much they champion this. And yes, indeed, we saw right from the beginning the anti-whites, and according to the anti-white narrative, so we could predict the pages before they returned, that they were going to say that this anti-white slur, that white supremacists were the ones who were out setting things ablaze to make these wonderful non-white people look bad. And then, since that is so outrageous, you can rest assured that now they're going to be saying, and of course, this is going to be the primary talking point of people like conservatives. Why? Because they're inside of the anti-white narrative. That, yeah, it's white people that did this, but it's the Antifa white people that did this. They're the problem. If they had not been out there, well, you might have had like one non-white person who might have broke a window or stolen a pair of shoes, but the rest of the millions would have been fine. That, ergo, their position is legitimate. And then I'll pass it back right now to you, Mark. And that is this, that if you stay within, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching live or you're watching in replay, you are never going to win. I don't know how many times I can say this. You will continue to lose. You will continue to look like a loser if you continue to use their anti-white narrative to understand the world. And the reason why is because for every act that they take, they can justify it with what we refer to as the miss of pretext, the moralized, intellectualized, and sentimentalized pretexts that they use, that they employ to justify every act of crime, every act of harm that they commit against us, white erasure, our civilization. So you can just say, I can just say for you now, to make it easy for you out there, if you're still wondering, well, should I continue to talk in their language and think and be in their story? I'll just make it easy for you. When they say, when you say, well, why do you think it's legitimate to burn a city street down? Their answer will just be anti-white narrative, anti-whiteism. Well, why do you think it's okay to murder the white people in the streets? Anti-whiteism, anti-white narrative. So you got it, you lose. So now it's time to go free so you can stop losing and looking like an idiot. And by the way, for everybody out there, and this is really important because I've already seen a couple comments, they're not, when you say, oh, they're just destroying their neighborhood. If you're in America, you are going to pay for all of their stores to be rebuilt. It's going to come out of your tax dollars, and they're going to be also reimbursing these people for profits lost with your tax dollars. So no, it's not just their neighborhood. It's your ass, white man and white woman, that are going to be paying for every single one of these things.
Yeah, I've got a switch here as well. We've talked a bit about Trump. We've talked about the MAGAtards. We've talked about the way that everything's the white man's fault. And that's amazing, isn't it? The Republicans, you know, this is all some white man's fault. So the Democrats are like, well, it's the racist white people's fault for stirring up the blacks and mistreating them. And then the Republicans are like, well, actually, it's the left-wing white people's fault because they've gone and encouraged them. You know, black people would never have rioted if it wasn't for Antifa. I'm not too sure about that. But one thing I do think is incredible, and this is something I spoke out about on Twitter earlier today. Now, yesterday on Instagram, I was looking down my feed and I did a few searches. And one thing that overwhelmed me was the number of there's these young girls, and I was going to call them influencers, but I better explain what influencers are. Influencers are basically any young girl who manages to take a selfie of herself in a bikini or underwear or loungewear whilst posing with a particular product is now called an influencer. And there are thousands of these people, and some of them have 100 followers and some of them have hundreds of thousands of followers. But they make a living or they get free stuff from posing in provocative clothing on Instagram. And they call themselves influencers. But all of these females, well, not all of them, that's unfair. An incredible amount of these so-called influencers all put a little black square up on their Instagram yesterday, or a square that said muted, but learning and listening, or but listening and learning for this George Floyd. Now, let's bear in mind, George Floyd broke into a woman's house, held a gun to her stomach as he burglarized her. And these white women are all fawning over him. He's the hero of the moment. But if we put that to one side, we do have to point out that here in Britain, and all these British influencers were doing it as well, last year alone, nearly 19,000 white girls were systematically groomed, sexually assaulted, raped, trafficked, and in some cases murdered by men who were overwhelmingly from an ethnic minority background. Yet none of these vacuous influencers put up a photo for these girls. Hundreds of thousands of girls over the last four decades have been sexually abused by these migrant gangs, and not one of these influencers is saying anything about it. But a convicted violent criminal who was high on drugs is restrained by a police officer and dies. And I want to make this very clear as well. I'm no fan of the police, but to claim that this was a racist murder is ridiculous. Did the guy actually intend to kill him? No. The guy who, the police officer in question, was actually married to a woman who was of mixed race origin. So he's hardly a big racist, is he? He was actually married to a woman who wasn't of European origin or wasn't entirely of European origin. And to claim that this was a racist murder is really stretching it. But all these girls will make a stand for this guy. But no one wants to speak up on behalf of the tens of thousands of white British girls being abused every year. These influencers are the most vacuous shells of people imaginable. They have, what would they do? I mean, it almost makes me want to start some kind of mocking trend just to see how far people will go. You know, could we get something like influencers shave a line down the middle of your head for justice or something ridiculous, just to see how many of these girls will do something absolutely stupid just so they feel they're following the current anti-white trend, and then we can all have a laugh at them instead. What do you think about this trend, Emily?
Well, yeah, if you look at the protesters, the vast majority of them are women, and they are white women. And, you know, it's shocking. It's funny because they are now, the media used to like say, okay, let's believe women. Women can do no wrong. And, you know, like evil men committing violence on women. It's a horrible thing. But now the white women are being demonized just as much as white men in the media. You've seen that, you saw that with the Karen situation, the new anti-white woman slur, Karen, going around. But more so than ever now, they're taking to the streets and defending these rapists, these men who are literally raping them. And I mean, you can say this a million times. Of course, we all know this, but you can't say it enough. I mean, look up the black on white crime statistics. Look up the black on white murder rates, the black on white rape rates. It's, you know, completely off balance. And yeah, it's, you know, they're mindless. I mean, I've given my opinions on women before. The vast majority are mindless. I think it's somewhat of like a cope survivalist thing. They think, you know, if you don't, maybe if I do this, then I won't get raped or something. You know, it's been like for thousands of years, the conquering tribe, you know, they'd have to submit to the conquering tribe. And, you know, their people are being conquered. Whites are being conquered. So what do you expect the women to do? I mean, it's sick and it's disgusting. And, you know, there's also, you know, their emotional factor. You show them anything and they just start crying. I mean, there's all these like screenshots of people like talking to their girlfriends about this stuff. And like even showing them these black on white rape statistics. And every time you post these statistics on Twitter, they're just completely ignored. Like it's like a phantom. They're just conveniently completely ignored. No one like even responds. No one's even trying to refute them. Why don't we keep posting them? Keep posting these statistics. You know, you can't post them enough. So yeah, it's sickening. And these guys are talking to their girlfriends and their girlfriends are like, how could you, defend this sick pig cop who killed this innocent black man. And then they show like, okay, well, this black man robbed a woman and pointed a gun at her abdomen. And, you know, what do you think about that? And they're like, they don't have anything to say. They just start breaking down into tears and they're like dumping guys over this stuff. I mean, yeah, women are retarded, but you know, what else is new? Blacks are violent and women are dumb. And it's all coming together right now.
Very, I'm pretty sure if anything's ever been said on this show that's going to be clipped out and go viral, it's Emily's last statement. Do you have anything to add to this, Jason?
I just want to applaud Emily calling the use of a name, Karen, as a which is a very common white woman's name, calling it an anti-white slur. They're taking the name of a white women, a common name, and they've turned it into a slur, and therefore it is an anti-white slur, and we should not be following suit. But to the point here, we have here, I have up a New York Times article, and here they are now blaming and guilting white women in this New York Times article. There are too many noose necks, charred bodies, and drowned souls for these white women not to know precisely what they are doing. They're using their white femininity as an instrument of terror against black men. And understand this, black people view calling the police on them as an act of terror, one that could threaten their lives. So you see what this non-white, anti-white author in reported or printed in the anti-white New York Times is saying here, that the moral of the story, or it's immoral for a white woman to call the police on non-white males, in general. And so therefore, the only way that they can recompense and make amends is they've got to essentially get on their back. That's the moral of the story in this New York Times piece. Get on your back and spread your legs, honey, and do right by the non-white masses, because if you don't, it is immoral. That is what this anti-white, non-white is saying in the anti-white New York Times. But again, thank you, Emily, for calling this use of the name Karen as an anti-white slur.
Right. And, you know, Karen did suck. And, you know, anyone that watched the video saw that she was like, you know, a pretty, you know, unfavorable person. But like you said, the point is that this is a tactic that is now being used to make white women be afraid to call the police on black people. If they weren't afraid before, it's now, they're now proposing crime. It's going to be a crime if you call the police on a black person, if it's racially motivated. Like, God forbid, if I went to the park and I got intimidated by a black guy and a black guy was trying to do something, you know, violent to me or threatening me, if I called the police, I would probably go to jail for like 10 years. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, this because of who I am, not just because I'm a white woman, but because I'm a white woman with my beliefs. And of course, they're going to try and use me as an example. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my outrage, like with the amount of stuff that you can take and say, oh, I can't even. You know, we can't even every single day. There's something more that you can't even. And I think we've gotten to like the threshold watermark of what we can take of what we're outraged by. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Well, something else that's absolutely insane is we are pushing our record high in terms of numbers of live viewers. So, guys, if you haven't already, please do like and share the stream. We could well end up setting a record here tonight. I think Emily has certainly brought the fire, and this is a deserved new high for the show. Now, we've discussed a little bit about Donald Trump. We've discussed a little bit about social media influencers. We've discussed George Floyd. We've discussed the rioting and the anti-white narrative, but we haven't yet discussed the media. Now, I do acknowledge, and I have acknowledged, that there is a problem with the African-American community. I've acknowledged that these people are not like us. I've acknowledged that we need to peacefully separate and that we need to live amongst our own people and they need to live amongst their own and everyone would be happier. But as part of this explosive racial mix, as part of this multicultural experiment, we must never, ever forget the role that the media has played. And the media has played two broad roles in this. Firstly, the media has always rubber-stamped, endorsed, and promoted mass immigration, multiculturalism, and racial mixing. So the media has put all of the components together. They've put the explosive powder together, and then they've added the explosives. They've added the fuse. And then the media have set fire to it. Because throughout all of this, not any of the media promoted everyone living together and mass immigration, but then they have stirred everything up to the point where they have rubber stamped this violence, just as they've rubber stamped mass immigration and multiculturalism, they have rubber stamped the anti-white violence and they have legitimized the anti-white narrative. And I've watched numerous media feeds. And I am absolutely appalled, even though I knew what they would be saying, I was appalled to see commentators repeatedly calling these people peaceful protesters seeking justice. I saw one particularly disturbing set of images, which was tweeted out today, of a female news reporter attempting to do a news report as she was surrounded by African Americans who appeared to be beating and killing a dog in front of the news camera. And there she is with her camera crew, just going through the motions, putting out what can only be described as a propaganda broadcast, as these men kill a dog on live television behind her. And there she smiles, talking of peaceful protests and the need for justice. Now, okay, so these people have gone out and they've targeted white people. They've gone out, they've looted, they've targeted businesses. They fought amongst themselves. I've seen black people looting and then fighting amongst each other over the stolen goods. But now they're actually killing animals live on American TV, and their stand, the media pundits, reporting it as if they're still the heroes. Is there nothing they can do wrong? You know, these people are given a pass for everything, and the media have to also be held up for this. There are two major, major ills in this, and a third lesser ill, which I'm not giving people a pass who are part of the third group, but I'll explain the reason why I have a degree of sympathy with them. The first group are the African Americans. The second group are the media that have stirred them up. And we know who runs the media. We know who are doing the stirring of this pot. We know who filled the pot with different racial groups. And now we know who's stirring it to cause these problems. But the third group is obviously the whites who go along with it. And I have a degree of sympathy for some of them, especially the young ones, because they've been brainwashed from a very young age. And if all you've seen from a very young age is anti-white narratives, all you've seen is white guilt poured into your head, you can to a degree be forgiven for doing what you have been told to do if you've known no different. But the media can never be forgiven. The media have played an absolutely toxic role in all of this. And with one notable exception, who is, of course, Tucker Carlson, the entire mainstream media the world over have been absolutely complicit in pushing a false narrative and attempting to set the Western world on fire. What are your thoughts about the media's role in this, Emily?
Yeah, I saw that dog getting abused. There was a video, a clear video of like a horde of black animals surrounding this reporter going, yo, yo, yo. And one of them had a puppy in his hand, a white puppy. Maybe that was why he stole the puppy. And he was handling it in an extremely abusive way. He was clearly abusing this dog on camera, a puppy. And I remember Ian Miles Chiang tweeted it out, and the comments were like, this is a new low for you, Ian. Simply for him pointing out that a dog was being abused on camera. And they were even trying to say, do you have a source on this? Do you have a source on this? How do you know that this is actually happening? It's like, are they blind to actually see that this dog is being abused on camera? I mean, the level of, it's just like complete and utter blindness. I mean, people aren't, they are not seeing reality. I didn't think it was possible to be this separated from reality, but it really is. And you know, if there's one thing that would get Reddit on our side, if there's one thing that would get the white masses to finally be like, okay, this is going too far, it would be the heckin' pupperinos, the doggos getting abused on camera. And of course, you know, I'm against abuse of all forms. And you know, especially Alfred Alfer, he was a poor abused pup himself. So seeing that dog on camera really hits home to me. And has the dog been avenged? Have they found this guy? I mean, you can't find these guys because these black people, they don't have jobs. They don't have real social networks. They don't have, oh yeah. And she's just there like, ha ha. And you can see that she's clearly in self-defense mode. It's a defense mechanism for her to just stand there and pretend it's not happening and freeze up and even laugh, because you can tell she's so scared of getting knocked out at any moment by any one of these vicious blacks, to the point where she can't even acknowledge that this dog is being abused right behind her. This is what happens. Like, you know, this is the fear. This is why white women are just like going with this, because she's clearly in the grips of fear here. Not trying to say that she shouldn't be blamed. She should be blamed. She should be pointing this out. But I mean, you know, that's what's happening.
And the dog was reportedly found strangled to death.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was even a picture of it being completely like choked, like wire wrapped around it. Like, what's with black people and like killing things in the most sadistic, inhumane way possible? You know, you see, it's like, you see, you ever go and see these WebMDs of these blacks being murdered in Africa by their own kind? They get like the tiring, necklacing it's called. They put the tire on their neck, light them on fire, set them on fire. The black runs around in circles. Everyone throws rocks at them. They wrap people up in, you know, electrical wires and stuff. You know, why is that like the default mode, this default sadism of blacks, of Africans? It's disgusting.
And sorry that you're sharing the screen with this, but obviously there's a lot of Brits watching tonight. And here you can see breaking news. They are rioting now outside Downing Street and fighting with the police. And isn't this hilarious? The police, about 2 hours ago, were taking a knee and trying to appease these people. And now they're taking a kicking from the people they took a knee for. It's almost poetic.
Take a boot to the face. Take a BBC. I mean, literally, there's not much further that you can go.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? The police kneeled to these people. And the point of kneeling isn't an act of respect. It's an act of submission. You kneel to a king. You kneel to your ruler. You kneel to an emperor. You don't kneel to a friend. You don't kneel to a comrade. You don't kneel to somebody that you just respect. You might shake their hand. You might pat them on the shoulder. You might give them a hug. But this is about submission. And here you see, no matter what you do to appease these people, they won't show you any respect. All of these appeasers kneeled down so they could be kicked in the face. What are your thoughts on the dog incident and the latest explosion of violence outside Downing Street? Jason.
Ah, okay. Well, what a surprise. Could never seen that coming. Folks, this is exactly what we're going to see a lot more of. The abuse of animals is ubiquitous in countries other than Western countries. And maybe that's the superior way to live. But the reality is that we don't think so. It doesn't harmonize with our biosphere to abuse animals. For some reason, we're able to project ourselves and our consciousness into other living beings, as well as even inanimate objects and even the environment itself. And then we seek to protect these things as a consequence. Doesn't really seem to happen elsewhere, but I'm sure they have it right and we have it wrong. And naturally, when the police in the UK, just like everywhere else, naturally, they are going to, living inside of the anti-white narrative, they're going to kneel and apologize because they're going to think that they can make amends for all of these claims in the anti-white narrative. But what we say in Going Free is, one of our meme curatives is, atonement cannot be made for a grievance never committed. I figured this out when I was 11 years old. And I told children, my peers at a lunch table, I write about that in my book, Born Guilty, where I say that we are the bad guys in this story. I didn't call it the anti-white narrative yet at that point in my life, but we're the bad guys in the story. The kids who were at this junior high school, the white kids before us, they were the bad guys. And the ones who come after us, they're going to be the bad guys. This will never end. And so that is why these police officers can apologize one moment and then get kicked in the face the next moment. It won't end. Their children will be next, and then their children will be next. And by the way, pointing out to what we were talking about earlier, Emily was making a really great point, and I'll pass it right back. And that is that these women are these white women who are getting terrorized. They are scared. They want to submit as a result of the fear. And we see that and we increasingly, it's been part of the anti-white narrative. They've been calling upon white women to submit to them for all of the wrongs. And usually the arguments they use out of the mess of pretext is the sentimentalized ones. It's not only our women who end up submitting and saying, don't call the police on that non-white person over there because it means certain death. But it's going to be the henpecked white men who end up agreeing with them and saying, yes, okay, of course I won't call the police on them because it means certain death for them. It is an outrage, and it will continue until all of you, until you go free, you learn the lexicon and the dialectics that we teach and go free. If you keep living inside of their narrative, you're going to continue with this gripe fest. That's going to be the extent of your productivity. That's going to be the extent of what you can do for Western kind, is to say, geez, what an outrage it is that they're doing exactly as we predicted.
Right. I mean, we hear this stuff again and again and again. So it's you know, very, you know, common knowledge for us, but you can't stop saying it. You really have to keep saying it. You know, all these feminists that are saying they're getting harassed on the street in cities. And if you watch these videos of these women that film themselves walking down the street to prove that men are harassing them in cities. And like, you know, the smaller brain take is there are no men catcalling women in cities. They're making it all up. Well, the bigger brain take, and the truth is that there are men doing it. They're doing it all the time, but they are all non-white. They are Black and Hispanic. And any girl who has lived in a city knows in the bottom of her heart how liberal she is, if she has any semblance of a memory, that if you're walking around in the city, you're going to get routinely harassed by Black and Hispanic men. And they will use these videos following these women and showing like women getting literally grabbed and like molested on the street. And all of the people that are doing it are Black guys. And so they literally have to take the video off of YouTube because they're like, you know, it's video proof. You can't go any further than that. And, you know, me living in Philly, I mean, my defense mechanism was just to dress like a bum, like to just like wear massive like clothes and hoodies and stuff. And, you know, this was back when I wasn't even racist. I remember being like terrified when the summer would start because I would have to walk outside and I couldn't wear a coat and all of the Black people would be out and the Hispanics. And, you know, even when I wasn't racist, even when I had like the benefit of the doubt for these people, I even pitied these people and felt bad for them. I had great fear in my heart when I would walk by a group of Black men. And the default response is to just cross the street, get as far away from them as possible. And you do it and you feel guilty when you do it. And I know all of the white women feel that when they're walking around the city, they're scared to walk by a group of Black men. And if they claim that they aren't, they are lying. They are lying to themselves. It is a, you know, a guttural fear.
Well, thank you for those powerful words. And this is a great time to go over to the Super Chats. But before we do, if you haven't liked and shared the stream, please do, because this is a record-breaking show. Emily has smashed our show through the previous best. The best stream I ever had was just over 2,200, and that was a Lauren Southern expose stream. And the best ever episode of PWR was just over 2,000. But we have smashed that tonight with 2,270 watching it peak so far. So this is an incredible stream. I don't know how long it'll stay on YouTube. We might pull it down straight after and have to pop it on BitChute. But that's for obvious reasons. But let's do some of these super chats. And if you want to contribute, you can still contribute via Entropy. The link is in the show description. The link is on Telegram, it's on Twitter, and it is now in the live chat. Yehuda Finkelstein gave $5 and said, will Emily be premiering a rap video about the peaceful African-American protesters like she did with her lit coronavirus Wuhan Busta Rhymes style late 90s hip-hop tribute?
I actually do have another video that I'm in the process of editing, and it is a rap video. It's an original song, though. It does touch upon... I wrote it in March, so it's more based on themes of like Epstein and... you know, ritual abuse and Jewish sex trade and stuff like that. So it's mostly going after Jews in this particular song, but there are a few anti-Black things in there. But, you know, for the next one, I just have to make content faster. Like, I can't keep up with what's going on. I'm doing live videos now so that I can make content faster because, you know, animations take so long. I mean, it takes 6 to 9 months to put out a decent video, like a 6-minute animation that's well done with 12-hour days. And, you know, I'd rather put out relevant content this year and do it quicker. So that's why I'm doing film and doing these music videos. It has some pretty savage lines, I will say that. It is like, you know, I pretended that I was Moon Man when I wrote it. So it's pretty savage. It's not too savage because obviously I can't get away with as much as I could if I was Moon Man, if I was using a robot voice. But yeah, that should be coming out in the next couple weeks.
Excellent. Well, Yehuda Finkelstein then gave another $3 and said, can Emily comment on what happened in Fishtown, Philly the other day?
Right. So these, I only saw a couple of clips, but apparently the whites are taking to the streets and, you know, just doing right-wing safety squads, the good old right-wing safety squads, protecting themselves, protecting their families, protecting their businesses. You know, these are their homes. So they have every right to go and defend their community. And it's really refreshing to see these working class whites rise up, and they're the only ones doing it. And I mean, there's a lot of people that like to bash the working class whites, or, you know, call them low IQ, or call them a number of different terms and make fun of them in this movement. And we really have to embrace our lower and working class white brothers and sisters, you know, because they're the ones that are really actually doing something right now. I mean, not saying that you guys in the suburbs should be going out there and like organizing. I mean, if they break into your house in the suburbs, by all means, blow them, you know, blow them the heck out. But only if they break into your house and threaten you and the lives of your family and your children and your pets. But yeah, it's really refreshing to see. And, you know, I'm sure that Philadelphia remembers me. I'm sure they remember the pistachio girl and how I got fired for speaking out about white genocide and the anti-white movement going on, and about how the Philadelphia Phillies could support Black Lives Matter. But since I went to NPI, a pro-white event, I was fired, and the hypocrisy of that. I'm sure that all these Philadelphians, the ones that were booing me, are eating their words right now. I mean, if you lived in the city, there's no way that you can avoid knowing this. But I mean, like the suburban whites. But I say to anyone, any white person that thinks that black on white violence is a myth, go live as a minority in a black community. I'm not talking about a neighborhood that has a nice black family down the street, because there are plenty of outliers. There are plenty of nice, peaceful, well-educated black people that live in the suburbs, but they're going to only be living in white neighborhoods. And that's because they want to get away from the blacks too. They want to get away from them. And you know, the demographics of the suburb is like what we could reasonably expect in a more balkanized America, maybe like one or two black families in a, like a 95% white neighborhood, the best of the best of the best. But any white person who doesn't believe me, please, I invite you to go live in the ghetto for at least a month, or, you know, take a walk from Front and Susquehanna to 49th and Baltimore, and tell me what happens to you along the way.
Thank you. Junta Momonari gave $5 and said, Black Lives Matter / Antifa protests happening are not organic. You even had a Black Lives Matter Antifa protest in Tokyo the other day, protesting against police brutality on an illegal Kurdish immigrant and pro-abolishing immigration detention centers. Yeah, I know who's behind this. We know the people who fund this. We know the people funding Black Lives Matters, the people funding Antifa, the people behind these riots are the same people who own the media, who are telling these people to go out and riot. This is a coordinated plan to wreck every civilized nation. JC Starling gave $10. Hail Mark and Patriotic Alternative. Hail Jason. Congratulations again, brother, on the book launch of Prometheus Rising. Thank you, Emily, for your work. Thank you, JC Starling, for the super chat. Sensum Kamenum gave £10. Thank you very much. What riots? There are no riots. It's just undocumented shoppers out for a light evening jog and maybe to toast a few marshmallows. It's all innocent stuff. The BBC and CNN tells us so. Junta Momonari gave another $3. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, did you notice how the CCP is more anti-mass immigration from Hong Kong to the UK than Boris and the Tories? Maybe China should run UK immigration policy instead. UK will be an island of endless skyscrapers. Yeah, I'm going to just comment on this very briefly myself. For all the cucks who are civic nationalists and were telling people to vote conservative because the conservatives were getting immigration under control and they were going to be the harshest government ever when it came to migration. The Conservative Party have just said they're going to take between 300,000 and 3 million people from Hong Kong. So that will be another mass step towards whites being a minority here in Britain, all care of the wonderful conservatives who are absolutely on the side of the indigenous people. Never forget that. And never forget all the people on the civic nationalist side who were waving their little plastic Union Jacks for Boris Johnson when he won, only to see Boris enthusiastically embrace the greatest level of mass immigration we've ever seen in this country.
Like, did coronavirus just stop existing, or, you know, like bringing over all these 3 million from China? It's like everyone just forgot about the coronavirus. Like the same people that were saying, go home, stay the fuck home, a couple weeks ago in terms of people like protesting the coronavirus are now saying, if you stay home, you're anti-black and you're a racist, go outside and risk getting coronavirus being around these black people. It's like, I can't believe the hypocrisy. It's insane.
Oh, the best is Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is Britain's resident blowhard. He always gobs off about everything and shouts all his guests down. But for the past 10 weeks, he's been abusing anyone that's gone out for a barbecue, gone to the beach, gone for a walk, gone on a bike ride, sat in a park. And he was calling them COVIDiots, making fun of them. But as soon as the several thousand people packed into Trafalgar Square or a park protesting Black Lives Matter, he doesn't say a word. He isn't going to dare call them idiots. He isn't going to dare call for their arrests for breaching coronavirus lockdown social distancing rules because he's gutless. Piers Morgan, you're a clown. You will never, ever debate anyone of substance. And you clearly practice your little speeches in front of the mirror, but they have no substance whatsoever. If you had any balls, you would be calling out these protesters for exactly the same thing that you've called out every other group that has dared to hold any form of public meeting. You are a disgrace. Peter Hansen gave $25 and said, hello, Emily. Will there ever be a Waking Up Part 2?
I don't know. Perhaps in the future. There was one. I was starting to work on one, but it just ended up being too time consuming. And yeah, but maybe in the future I'll be able to finish it. Like I said, I really do want to work on live videos right now just so I can get the content out faster, because Waking Up, and if you didn't see it, go check out Waking Up on my BitChute. There's actually a nice British character in there who like channels Mosley in this bar fight against a bunch of non-whites. I'm really proud of it. But yeah, like I said, I do want to focus on film just so I can kind of get content out there regularly, because the other one took me like several months, and by the time that's done, you know, half a year will go by. But maybe in the future, maybe in the future.
Thank you. JP gave $10 and said, love the show. Keep doing God's work. Well, thank you, JP. And I just want to say we've just hit a new high of 2,293 people watching. Can we go over 2,300? We've already broken the record. Emily is certainly bringing the fire tonight. Junta Mominari gave another $5. Thank you very much. He says, Israel is annexing the West Bank right now. They plan on deporting the millions of Palestinians that live there and also will go ahead on their plan to strip Israeli Arabs of citizenship. Third temple is being built after the annexation is done. Well, I should imagine they will get away with this. And wouldn't it be notable if Donald Trump let America burn, but actually gave Israel funds to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians?
He will.
On the first day of these riots, rather than saying anything about the riots, he gave $10 million to a Holocaust educational trust. Instead of talking about the white people being beaten and losing their homes and businesses.
Yeah, just sneak that in there. You know what he will do? He'll take those Palestinians that are being annexed. He'll ship them to the United States and let them burn everything down too. And then, you know, That'll be what they'll do, yeah.
That would not surprise me. Serena JB gave £3. Thank you very much. She says, it's nice to see Emily making a debut on PWR. What a talented lady. Do you think this huge accelerationism of anti-whiteness will help our cause? I'm hoping it will. Well, I think we've kind of covered that, but I think it will, but I think it'll also polarize society. I think you'll see a group of people come out who are all for more of this, and there'll be a lot of other people come out and they'll say it's time to end all this. So I think we're going to see a major division in society that will never be healed, but yeah, it will accelerate things. Do you guys agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have to admit, prior to this, the idea of balkanization or getting our own white ethnostate in the United States seemed like a pipe dream. It seemed like something completely far-fetched. I didn't know if it was possible. I thought it would be much more possible in Britain and Europe that, you know, had a native white population for thousands of years instead of the failed racial experiment that is America. But after seeing this, I mean, really the only solution other than extreme violence is just to separate, to just go our separate ways. It's not working out. okay, it's like you said, it's like a bad relationship. You just, you know, it's not working out. We just got to go our separate ways. And you would think that the Black nationalists, the Black people would want that too, because they're screaming that they don't, you know, what can white people do short of killing themselves? They're literally saying even the most allied of white people are not doing enough and should be ashamed of themselves and are as racist as Richard Spencer. That's what they're saying in these articles in the Washington Post. There was an article after Karen saying, you know, it's not just the Richard Spencers of the world that are the ones that are most racist. It's the liberal allies, the people that say, what can we do? Well, there's nothing you can do. Basically, they're just telling white people to kill themselves. Is that what we can do? Well, we don't have to kill themselves. We can remove ourselves from your population another way. And that's by peaceably separating. And the Black people can have their own ethnostate somewhere in the deep South. Let's give them Alabama and Louisiana. They can have that. I think they can fit in there. Or they can simply just go back to Africa, because I don't know why this is such like an evil thing to say that they can go back to Africa. I mean, we white people never should have gone to Africa. They never should have invaded. They never should have meddled. We should have never meddled with their population. And we need to cut off our meddling now, or else they're going to explode and they're going to grow to like a quarter of the world's population. And they're going to be shipped here. And if 15% of the population is doing 50 here, just imagine when they ship those poor African refugees to the United States and they're now 40% of the population or 50 or 60. Just imagine how much more crime, if we have to look at the statistical trends, will happen in that case. So yeah, we need to leave Africa alone. We never should have had slaves. We should have picked the cotton ourselves. And by doing that, we would have had our all white America. And the people that say, well, Black people would have ended up here eventually. No, they wouldn't have. They didn't know how to build boats, okay? They could not figure out how to build boats short of like a couple of meters off of land. So don't give me that. We have to go our separate ways. And you know what? It just seems like everyone's calling for it. The white nationalists, the Black nationalists. Let's give the Blacks their own country. Let's take the funds from Israel and cut off our aid to Israel and set up a Black country that way. Just give them a couple meal tickets. Give them some free tickets to Popeyes and stuff. Give them, say, hey, there's 40s here in Alabama. Come on, there's free housing. You know, we're giving them free housing anyway. Let's just take the free housing and put it in a special localized place. And I think all of the stuff I'm saying here is perfectly reasonable. Black nationalists would agree. And I think that they need a good Black leader like Gaddafi. Now, Gaddafi knew how to run a Black country. So if we don't get another Gaddafi, we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you for those very powerful words. We've got so many super chats, so we're going to power on. F22 Daniel gave $3 Australian. Thank you very much. He said, Emily, why are so many people out there so desperate to defend Black people? And also, it's really funny that no one cares about social distancing anymore. The US will have achieved herd immunity quite soon. Thank you for that super chat.
I think a lot of it is, honestly, I think it's like projecting. I think that white people have been feeling white guilt and white inferiority for so long that, and they're instead of internalizing it and realizing like that they're internalizing it and like sympathizing with the Blacks more, if that makes any sense. I don't know. I think it's like a cope. I think it's a massive cope because they can't fathom that there are people that can hurt them and that it's a dangerous world and that if they are outnumbered, that they will be in severe danger. So I think to rationalize that, they're saying, oh no, it is our fault. And if we just change, if we just do something, then we can all live peaceably. And yeah, I think it's a level of cope for like the smarter ones. I mean, I certainly felt white guilt my entire life. Since the age of 12, I felt extreme white guilt. And I remember hating myself because I didn't have any culture or soul. And I couldn't put this into words because, you know, this was not like a thing back then. Now it's a thing. Yeah, I also just think it's sheer idiocy and just a simple matter of they're repeating what the media is telling them to say and blind emotion and not looking into anything and just insane mob mentality from a population that has been degenerated and ruined by food, obesity, drugs, TV, mind-numbing substances, completely rendering them brain damaged. I think they're just doing what they're being told to do for the most part.
Thank you. Grim Fan gave $5 and said, YouTuber Thomas Sheridan says this is the greatest education you'll ever get. He's referring to COVID as well as the riots. No one can truly ignore reality anymore. How can Patriotic Alternative capitalize on this? Well, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep building a community. We're going to keep holding events, and we're going to keep telling the truth. The biggest thing that's helping us is simply telling the truth. There is only one organization in the UK that holds credible gatherings that are smart, intelligent, has a well-designed website, and is fronted by articulate people that talks about race, ethnicity, and the Great Replacement. That's Patriotic Alternative. If you want white Britons to survive in these islands, Patriotic Alternative is the only organization for you. It's as simple as that. So thank you for the super chat. Travis Hammer gave $5. Thank you very much. This insurrection can be used as a spotlight to point out the reality of race in contemporary America, as long as people have the fortitude to point it out and challenge the false narrative. Well, thank you, Travis. That's exactly what we're doing. Dresden Burns gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, hey, Mark, you're the best advocate we have in the dissident right, and you're the greatest ambassador for our ideas. When will you be beginning streaming on DLive? Well, the DLive stream has been a long time coming. A few people have asked me to do a gaming stream, which I am planning. When I get a free night, I'm going to do a gaming stream with some retro games, and we'll see if I can perform some amazing feats where I beat the hardest SNES game ever made in one life without dying. Robert Hildebrand gave $10 and simply said, white lives matter. Yes, they do. Dresden Burns gave $20. Someone in 1942 said, I don't see much future for the Americans. It's a decayed country, and they have their racial problem and the problem of social inequalities. Everything about their behavior, everything about the behavior of American society reveals that it's half Judaized and the other half Africanized. How can one expect a state like that to hold together? Well, thank you very much for that super chat, Dresden Burns. I can't possibly imagine who said that, nor would I like to comment on such a thing. Unknown Californian gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, the police have allowed this to happen. Where are those bureaucrats with the acoustic... where are those bear cats with the acoustic systems that disperse crowds, or the ones with the microwave gun that causes sunburns? Nowhere in sight. They're called active denial systems. Look them up on YouTube. Well, I don't know about that, but thank you. Unknown California gave another $3. The LRAD, long-range acoustic device, was used for the first time in the USA in Pittsburgh during the time of the G20 summit on September the 24th to the 25th, 2009. Well, guys, what do you think about that? What do you think about the police's response? Is this down to individual officers, or is this down to their superiors? Can the police be given a pass for taking a knee and letting this continue? Or are the police complicit in these riots? What do you think, Emily and Jason?
I don't know anything about how the police force works. I can only imagine it's some officers with like some 15-year-old influencer daughter at home going, oh, daddy, please, you have to take a knee today. This is, you have to show you're in solidarity. How could you? And he's being, oh, okay, darling, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. You know, meanwhile, he's allowing these people to, you know, make her subject to a future where she risks harm on a daily basis. But, I don't know. I honestly don't know. This is the really confusing part. Is America that broken? I mean, it's kind of white pilling to see that it is possible for the police to stand down, that it is possible to overtake the police. I mean, if we ever had to face a revolution of our own, a white revolution. But I also think this is being allowed. And if it was a different sort of protest, like such as Charlottesville, the police would be beating the crap out of people and arresting and pepper spraying and using absolute brutality force and, you know, giving the protesters like 400 years in prison and stuff like that. And, you know, if it was white people protesting, that would absolutely be the case. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you have anything to add to this, Jason?
I like the way you think, Emily. That's exactly what would happen. I obviously want to give as much time as possible to all of these great super chats and to Emily. Maybe I'll answer some of these questions in a stream after this one. Just to say that a police officer is an individual, and he has a life. He has a wife, or it's a, she has a husband. They have children. They have dental bills, and they're not complicit. In most cases, they are ordered to handle anti-white animals with kid gloves. And of course, if they were dealing with us, they would handle us a completely different way, just as Emily was pointing out. But in some places, they are ordered to be complicit with the anti-whites in the street, the riffraff that are given carte blanche, because there are anti-whites handing out the orders.
Okay, let's try and whiz through these super chats. Travis Hammer gave $3 and said, "We need to stop using caveats when discussing the reality of race relations. It's akin to preemptive apology, where we are basically backpedaling while trying to push forward." Thank you for the super chat. I don't think anyone's used any caveats tonight. This stream has been so completely based in free speech that it will most likely be deleted instantly when it ends. It will be re-uploaded to BitChute. Trout Slayer gave $10. Thank you very much. I think Emily's answered this, but if she hasn't, she can. He says, "Could Emily please comment on the current status on the Philadelphia racial issues?"
Well, you know, like I said, when I lived in Philadelphia, I lived there for 8 years in as a minority in Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. And, you know, I'll tell a couple of my experiences at Temple University. My friends were walking down the street and a bunch of Black kids threw glass bottles out the window at them. The Temple police didn't do anything. The Temple police doesn't do anything. I don't know how it's changed now, but in 2008, when I was in college, this is how it was. Obama had just become president. Basically, if you walked off of campus, you were at risk of being shot or stabbed. And I had friends that lived off of campus. And I remember sitting on a stoop once of one of their houses, just hanging out, and a guy actually got stabbed right in front of me. I've had a friend that went to go to the liquor store to get like a 40 or something, get curb stomped by a group of young Black males, curb stomped his head against the pavement, and he lost a tooth. He came back with his face all bloody, crying. I had another friend get punched off a bike by a Black guy because we guessed it's because he had like big red hair. You know, it was because he was white. I've had people get shot on the corners of my blocks, like right outside my house. I had one time where I accidentally left the front door unlocked and a big Black guy was in our living room. And thankfully but survival kicked in and he left, but he entered our house. Thank God that didn't turn sour. I've witnessed, you know, crackheads, kids being abused on the subway. You know, the default method for parenting for Black people, it seems, is to be to beat their ass and throw them down. Like, you know, I have sympathy for all abuse victims, especially obviously any abuser of any race deserves the rope. But I've seen it especially in these Black communities, like pushing their kids down on the subway, neglect, you know, bringing these kids through traffic. I have so many stories. I one time went to the liquor store and there was a Black guy. I did used to drink back then. You know, that's how you survive in Philly. Like, the only white people that live in the hood now, all of my friends from art school basically that stage have just become like alcoholics, like living in destitution. It's their only way of coping. And of course, when I got fired, when I got doxxed, they all turned on me. When all of these kids had experienced Black on white violence in Philadelphia, which was shocking. Like, the guy that I said got actually punched off of his bike by a Black guy was like shaming me on Facebook back when I used to actually think that posting on Facebook mattered in 2016, when I was trying to like actually tell people about this. That's the cope mechanism. And if I had stayed in the ghetto, if I didn't get out, and thankfully the doxing was a blessing because it forced me to leave the city, and now I'm in a safe place. And I have a family. I'm very thankful for that. But if I had stayed, I imagine I would have just coped with alcohol or something, you know? I remember going to a store and there was this guy, this Black guy out there with a djembe. And he was like, "Guess what? I have like white kids' bodies stored in this djembe." And of course, me and my friends were just like, "Ha, ha, ha, that's hilarious." Cause you also cope by laughing at it. You laugh at it. It's insane what I've seen, the shit that I've seen. I lived in the hood. I really did live in the hood. And I invite any white person who doubts what I'm saying to go live in the hood themselves.
Well, thank you. And I think that's a very important message. I would actually like to force all white liberals that live in white areas and leafy suburbs to go to the hood. Dresden Burns gave $3 and said, when do you think a white community will secede from the US and gain sovereignty to protect their identity and values from the increasing hostility surrounding us? I think you may see white communities forming and making their own breakaway towns or cities, but to actually secede, I think, would be almost impossible. Do you think that's a possibility?
It has to be. It has to. It has to be that whites get their own place. And I think it'll happen. It might happen when we become more of a minority, when we're actually a minority, when blacks actually start invading the suburbs. And there have like been calls for the first time in history that the blacks are going to go invade the McMansions. And that's like a total endgame apocalypse scenario. You know, it's going to be like South Africa, where you're going to have big fences outside of your house and, like, you know, 10 alarms and gates and stuff just to exist and to live. There's no other way. It either we all die out in a bloody destruction and our children get tortured and we get tortured like this guy in the nursing home. That's going to be all of our fates. Or we simply separate. And after seeing this and whites waking up, and there have even been posts on Reddit where whites are waking up. Like, I was a teacher in an inner city school, and they're right. This is just the way these people are. And it's not white people's fault. It's not systemic racism. It's just the way these people are. They're not meant for Western civilization. For the first time, I feel like this is a real possibility. It has to happen, or it's going to be just endless violence, a horror without end, as Hitler said.
Well, thank you for that. Damien Demento gave £20 and simply said, PA. Thank you very much, Damien. Dresden Burns gave another $3. Thank you very much. He said, we can judge the heart of a man by his treatment of animals. Immanuel Kant. Many Asian countries also cook and torture cats and dogs alive. Indeed, they do. Thank you very much. Imminent Rain gave $10 and said, Promethean hails so hard. Thank you very much. Matt Fields gave $3 and said, it's good to see Emily again. Shout out to the rooftop Philly rednecks and all the rooftop guardians across the country. God bless you all and live on your feet. Thank you very much, Matt. Jez gave $10. Thank you very much, Jez. He said, with white police officers taking the knee from Scotland to England to France to the US, it's hard to see how we can adopt any strategy other than building a complete parallel society from the ground up with our own institutions. Indeed, my friend, Jez is a long-term supporter of the show and good friend of mine. And yes, that is what we want to do. F22 Daniel gave $3. Thank you very much. This is for Emily. Emily, what are your thoughts on Jesse Lee Peterson? Mark, will you have him again on the show? I invited Jesse Lee back on the show. He wouldn't come. I think he's got to deal with some people now who don't want him working with people like me, which is very disappointing. But what are your thoughts on Jesse Lee, Emily?
I just heard the name, but I actually know nothing about him. I have no idea.
Oh, he's a based black man. But yeah, oh. You don't know him, you don't know him. Corey 1995 gave £50. Thank you very much. What are your thoughts on Section 230 and Trump vowing to look into social media censorship? Do you think it'll make any difference for us in the UK due to hate speech legislation? Well, thank you for the generous super chat. I think Trump is a very selfish man. We briefly dealt with this earlier. I think he only acted against Twitter and social media because they'd started to censor him. He had no interest in doing anything about social media when they were censoring conservatives, nationalists, patriots, and other people other than him. I'm not sure if it'll have any effect whatsoever, but I'm not an American. So briefly, Emily and Jason, do you think Trump's new executive order will have any effect whatsoever on social media?
I don't. I think that Trump is a total hypocrite now. He's been a total hypocrite. If you go to my BitChute, there is like pro-Trump content, but that's from 2016. And I want to put it out there that I have been off the Trump train severely for a couple of years now. He's a complete Zionist shill. He is anti-white. All he cares about is African Americans. You know, he just signed this Holocaust thing into, you know, he's doing this all under the bat to serve the Jews, to serve the blacks. He does not care about whites. He does not care about free speech. If he says anything like that, he's just doing it as a little tease to try and get his voter base back. But I think we all know that we cannot be fooled by him again anymore, and that we are not going to buy into his like promises. Let's see some real action, Trump. Let's see some real action. We won't.
What do you think to this, Jason? Do you think Trump's executive order will have any effect?
If it stays in place, and I haven't read the full order yet, but if it stays in place, it will enable people to sue social media. But it's as likely as not that he will just rescind it as soon as he gets his way.
Thank you. We've got a lot of super chats, so we're going to have to fly through these. David Marcus gave £20. They get to stay in the diversity is our strength neighborhoods when we self-isolate into our indigenous communities. Yes, we need to do that. We need to move to the same areas and stick together. Thank you very much for the super chat.
I will say, though, let's not abandon our cities, though. We have to take our cities back. We can't all just hide because they will encircle us and they will come for us just like the farmers in South Africa.
Yeah, I often think, what's the point where it's wise to do a tactical retreat? You see, with London, I would say that trying to get anything going in London would be very difficult, and that would be a place where you do want a tactical retreat. But I do think we need to save some cities, and I do think we should fight for every inch we can. The Anglo-Saxon teacher gave £10 and said, really good live stream. Plan A, the virus has failed, so now it's plan B, race again. Thank you very much. Lee Peter just said thank you and gave £10. Thank you very much, Lee. Promethean Promulgation gave $5 and said, how should we refer to the magnitude of the attacks? I don't know. What do you guys think? How should we refer to the magnitude of these attacks?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'd just say they're very widespread. I mean, the whole of America is burning. I'm not really sure what else we can say to that.
Yeah. America's falling apart. From an outside perspective, I've heard a number of non-Americans say it looks like America is completely being destroyed and imploding. And good. It's the inevitable outcome of the failed racial experiment.
Indeed. And although I don't wish any ill on white Americans, of course.
No.
But America has pushed an awful lot of degeneracy and madness on the rest of the world. And America has been really the motor of the global multicultural machine. No nation has done more to push multiculturalism and miscegenation and anti-white hate than America because of those who control it. And maybe this will wake a lot of nations up, especially those in Eastern Europe. Casual Cruising gave $3. Thank you very much. This is a question for Emily. He says, Emily, you look happier than 2 years ago, but you could improve even further with Jason's books. I used to be a very angry guy myself, but all of that disappeared over time after going free. Do you have any comments on that, Emily?
Well, yeah, I'm always looking for white-pilled uplifting content. So, yeah, I mean, I would say I'm not so much angry, even though it comes and goes. I'm definitely happier than I was 2 years ago. That's for sure. I'm in a much better place. But I think most of it is just fear. It's fear, a little bit of anger. But yeah, I will definitely look into your books.
Well, thank you very much. Francis Lanza gave $3 and said, great show. Thank you very much. Stoic Reality gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, do you think we should push the conservatives as being weak and useless? Yes, we have been doing that all night and we will continue to do that.
Completely useless.
Yeah, definitely. HM gave $3. Thank you very much. And just said, too good. Thank you. Casa JB gave $10 and said, love you, Vokes. Saw this truth recently. We are suffering under institutionalized Dinduism, but our true enemy owns and runs the media, academia, finance, pornography, etc. Very true. Thank you for the donation. Unknown Californian gave $5 and said, don't forget, Nanjing Tiananmen Square protests were the result of the Chinese population tiring of Africans present in the country. Thank you very much. Herr Reckner gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, police alone cannot end riots. As a service member, I can tell you that likely half of our American service members are people of color who would side with the protesters. Every day I hear anti-white rhetoric within the military from blacks and Latinos. With that said, I don't think Trump can turn to military intervention. No, I agree. I think all the institutions have been so taken over, not just by people of color, but also by anti-white whites, liberals, and people who would push back against military intervention. So thank you for that. The Thin Red Line gave $10. Thank you, panel. Emily is a great guest. She is leadership material. Well, thank you very much. I agree. Blunderbuss gave $25 and said, does Emily find any alt-light characters particularly odious?
The alt-light, I don't know. Well, you know, I did BTFO Gavin McGinnis back in 2016. That was like one of my big videos. It's on my BitChute. I basically got him to admit that I tried to get him to say the 14 words, you know, we will preserve a future for white children. And he refused to say white children. He said Western children. He also said that we shouldn't be adopting white babies, even though there are plenty of poor, innocent white babies that have no homes in foster homes, being raised by violent blacks that deserve good, white, loving parents. And he said that instead of helping those babies, that we should only be adopting African-American babies. And he, you know, me and Gavin have a bit of a history in that, but he's pretty much irrelevant now. I mean, all of these alt-light types have been irrelevant for a very long time. And the most extreme of the right, the most radical, is becoming more and more mainstream. No, I don't think it's extreme, by the way. It's not. It's common sense. It's the truth.
Well, apparently, talking of alt-light people, I'm just going to mention this very, very briefly, and thank you for that generous super chat. We're at 2,299 viewers. One more, and we have really we've broken the record, but one more would really push things the way.
Yeah, let's get that one more. Come on, guys.
Now, apparently, Sargon, I don't know if this is true, but people in the chat are saying that Sargon of Akkad has been saying that these riots aren't racial and that this isn't a racial issue, that none of this is actually racial, what's going on. So if he actually has, yeah, we've done it, 2,311. Well done, guys. But apparently Sargon of Akkad has come out and said this isn't racial. So if that is true, he would have to go down as being pretty damn odious. And also he's pretty odious for dodging his debate with me.
But how can he say it's not racial? I mean, it's one thing to say that, oh, this isn't black people's fault, it's systemic racism, but to say it's not racial at all?
Well, exactly. You know, Andy dodged that debate. We're up to 2,321 now. Pat gave $3 and said, Navarro Media are streaming now and we are beating them in viewers despite the BBC backing and Ash the Car being on Question Time every week. We will win. Yes, I believe we will win. And I've got to say this. Apparently, despite having now over 2,300 viewers and being one of the most popular streams on YouTube, we're still not allowed in the YouTube trending area. And every time we get a little bump, it gets knocked back down. I'm sure they're playing with our viewership numbers, but this has been an incredible stream, the best we've ever done in terms of numbers. So well done to everyone involved.
Wow.
Gave $28. Thank you very much. He said, I've loved you since you took a hit for us on Penn Avenue in DC years back. You've got more balls than a lot of the guys. Still love you, babes. So that was for you, Emily. Do you want to respond to that?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's referring to when I went to NPI to interview people for Red Ice back in 2016 at the big famous Hillgate NPI. And I simply went outside. This was back when I was pretty naive. And my only experience with leftists was at the DNC when I went and interviewed leftists at the DNC. There's a pretty funny video of me periscoping that whole scenario. Back when those innocent times, when you didn't have to worry about getting lynched on the street and punched out and knocked out, you just had funny banter with a leftist. Anyway, I ended up being surrounded by a black bloc, like a real DC Antifa black bloc. They surrounded me. Beat up my cameraman. He's the one that really took a hit. Gave him stitches, stole his phone. And I, meanwhile, was backed into a corner. And I guess my survival instincts kicked in. I was just scrolling on my phone, like surrounded by 250 Antifa. Thankfully, a cop rushed in and rushed me out. But yeah, that was the moment that did get me doxxed and fired. And thankfully, it did. That was because my life has immensely improved since then. Thank you for enjoying my stuff.
Thank you. Stoic Reality gave $5. Thank you very much. And he said, what's the point in uniting if we are not on the same level politically? I'm not sure what he means by that. So do you guys understand what he means by that? What, there's no point in uniting if we're not on the same level. Well,
in uniting with whom?
I'm not sure what he means, so sorry about that. Regnar X Duma X gave $12. Thank you very much. He said, we're now getting a glimpse of what accelerationism leads to. Are we seeing opportunities for white well-being coming out of this? Well, I think we are. I think there's massive opportunities here. I think lots of people that I've never heard talk about race before are now talking about race. I think we've reached a point where plenty of normies are now saying enough's enough. What opportunities do you guys see coming out of this?
Well, they actually had to shut down Reddit. And of course, Reddit is like the embodiment of the NPC echo chamber, chamber, because it's based on upvotes and karma and stuff. So it's literally reinforcing conformity in the highest possible way. And they ended up having to shut down a ton of boards because people were just simply stating the truth. Like, look at these rioters. This is anti-white. And there was one thread in particular where a guy was talking about how he was an inner city teacher at a black school and how he said, enough is enough. I have to admit these people are just cannot, you know, this is just the way they are. There's nothing we can do for them. We give them money. We give them free lunches. We give them free laptops. We give them free food. The school does everything for these kids. They smash the laptops. They threaten to stab me. And the principal literally said, it's just their culture. And it had so many upvotes and it got awards and it got gold. And the replies were like, you know, 1,000 like comments of like, you're right. And like any detractors were downvoted. So if that's happening on Reddit of all places, then I think that things are looking up for us. And I just hope these riots just keep going. Stay safe, white people. Stay safe.
This has been the most based show we've ever done. Ryan354 gave £5. Thank you very much. He said, looking forward to seeing you at PA, Mark. Any further thoughts specifically for the CivNats watching who have become curios due to the riots? Yeah. A few weeks ago, or I regularly get rebuked by people for going too far with the truth. And I just want to say this. If you are absolutely nervous about getting involved with us, come to one of our events and meet us because we are nice, normal people. But do not be scared about opening your mind. Do not be scared about opening books. Do not be scared about viewing YouTube streams. Have a read. Have a look. Have a listen. And if it sounds right, if you agree with it, if it's backed up by evidence, follow the breadcrumbs to the truth. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter who said it. It doesn't matter whether the media attack the person saying it. If what is said is the truth, stand by it and stand up for those speaking it. Do not be afraid, because what have you got to be afraid of? You've got to be afraid of the anti-white violence. You've got to be afraid of your daughter being taken away to be raped and sexually assaulted and trafficked. You've got to be afraid of your business being burnt down. You have to be afraid of becoming a minority or becoming a second-class citizen. Don't be afraid of the truth, because the truth is the one thing that will put you on the path to being free. The truth is what wakes people up. The truth is what's going to give our people the power to stand up and fight the system. That is what you have to embrace. Please, if you are curious about our movement, break the taboos. The reason you're not meant to listen to me, the reason you're not meant to read certain books or watch certain streams is because they are the boundaries that our enemies have set for you. Don't let the anti-white set the acceptable boundaries of discourse, because if you do that, you are playing into their hands and you are sealing your own fate.
Yes. Mark, I just wanted to say, I think Patriotic Alternative, I'm a great admirer of your show. That's why I agreed to come on. But I think it's a model organization. And I think it's just like normal people having common sense demands. There's no like crazy eccentricities. There's no like, you know, it's very common sense and it's for normal people. And I think it's the model organization to have. And I hope I know there are IRL organizations in America as well, but you have to find them. You know, they're not going to put themselves out there. If they're advertising for themselves, like in a very open way, it's probably, you know, a honeypot or something. But there are IRL organizations in America. There are great IRL people. I know a bunch. And they have saved me. They have saved me in terms of giving me a community, and where else I would be completely isolated and completely admonished on the internet. I'm very thankful for them. But yeah, I hope we can. I know in America we've like philandered with our movement and we've had some mistakes. Of course we're going to make some mistakes. But I think that if we are to get a movement together, I would want it to look like Patriotic Alternative.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. And you never know, in the future, if you happen to be free, you could end up getting an offer to speak at one of our conferences. So if you ever wanted to come over, I would be more than happy. Well, look, you brought the fire tonight.
Me?
We've never. Yes.
If they let me in, I'd love to.
If you would like to come and speak at one of our conferences, and you hear it here tonight, everyone in the chat, if Emily Youkis wants to come and speak at a Patriotic Alternative conference, we will make that happen.
Oh, wonderful. So, I've never been to Britain. Thank you.
Well, we would fly you here, and it would be an honor. So
wow.
Thank you.
We'll see if I get through.
Exactly. Unknown Californian gave $10 and said, I'm grateful for women like Emily, Lana Loktev, Laura Towler, and any others I can't think of at the moment. Watching the daytime protests, I saw an overwhelming amount of women in attendance. Women seem to be a vector for anti-white sentiment among our people. Well, thank you for that. I think Emily summed that up perfectly earlier. And finally, the final super chat, Unknown Californian gave another $3. Thank you very much. He said, can we get some Deport Sargon in the chat? Yes, I've got to say, I don't really know why these civnets are so desperate to deny the truth when the truth has just set America on fire. It's how you can deny that now. I don't know. And we do have, we always answer the top rated questions, although there isn't much time. Adam got the top rated question of the night. He said, Adam, he says, make sure to join the BBCQT brigade with the hashtag justice for Ellie Williams tomorrow night. Agreed. And Connor Chickmeister said, what advice would you give to nationalists who are becoming black-pilled as a result of the increasing anti-whiteism after the recent events in the US? So, Jason, Emily, very quickly, what advice would you give to anyone who's black-pilled after these riots?
Look for the good, man. Look for just, there is a flip side. I was at first, when these started happening, I was very afraid and I was like, oh my God, how can this get any worse? But in the last 3 weeks, last week, my viewpoint has completely flipped, seeing the reaction and seeing how basically if white people won't go to the hood to red pill themselves on being a minority amongst blacks, the hood is coming to them now. So I think it's just something to celebrate. And I mean, of course, it's a tragedy. Anyone who is killed in this, any white people that is hurt, but, you know, it's causing white people to open their eyes. And I don't think this should be a time for being black-pilled.
What do you think, Jason?
Get busy spreading, go free, or we're going to continue on the same path.
Excellent. Well, that does about bring us to the end of this record-breaking show, which is going to be removed from YouTube and placed on BitChute.
I'm going to put it on my BitChute. So everyone go to my channel. I'm going to put it on there as soon as this is over.
I will
BitChute.com. Yeah, we'll post the link. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send this over to you, Emily. Now, I just want to say this has been a record-breaking show. And first and foremost, thank you so much to Emily. Emily, please give yourself a little outro. Tell us where we can find you and how we can contribute to your amazing and record-breaking work.
Well, you can find me only on bitchute.com/channel. I think now that the search is better in BitChute, so just search me up on BitChute, Emily Youkis, Youcis, and you can find my BitChute. That's where all my work is. I'm not on any social media anymore. I'm not on Facebook or Twitter or any of that stuff. I want to do my work through my art primarily, and not through social media. But I do still have my Gab, which will have which I'm only going to use to promote my videos. Other than that, you know, this did seem to be a good success, this stream, and I wanted to not do any more streams or podcasts, but it seems like I'm doing some good work here, and I'd like to come on some more streams, maybe in a future date. So look out for those, for, you know, anyone who wants to have me on. But yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't have anywhere to take money. I do this for free. I do this for the love and the passion, and that's it. Oh, and well, I have a new video coming out. I have a new video coming out in a couple weeks, so stay tuned.
When you do, I will definitely bash that out on all my social networks. Thank you again. And half the chat seems to have turned on Jason tonight and are demanding that he is sacked and you are made the new co-host.
Uh-oh. So, not the damn scenario again. Oh, no. I'm getting flashbacks.
We will definitely be having you on again. But on that bombshell, Jason, what are you up to at the moment, other than potentially looking for a new job? I'm only joking. Who's on this week?
It's been a pleasure appearing with Emily and with all of you wonderful people. I will do a short stream giving some of my thoughts that we didn't get a chance to hear during the show today over on my channel, No White Guilt on YouTube. I put the link in the chat. And always an honor to serve with my great colleague here, Mark Collett. Look forward to seeing you all soon. NoWhiteGuilt.org.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you to everyone. Thank you to Emily. Thank you to Jason. And thank you to the amazing community here tonight. Thank you to everyone who gave such generous super chats. And this has been the big one. This has been a record-breaking show. I can't believe it, but these shows get better and better. We had the David Duke mega show, which ended up getting shut down halfway through. And tonight, we have broken all the records.
We made Emily. It through. Yeah, well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on, Mark. It's a true honor to be on your show. And thank you, Jason, as well. And thank you, everybody. We're going to win this, guys. Just keep your heads up. We're going to win this. Woo!
No, we are. We are. And I don't know how anyone could feel black-pilled after watching this show tonight. It has been so high energy. So thank you so much for everyone who participated. Thank you to everyone in the chat. This will be removed shortly afterwards, and I'll be uploading it to my BitChute and sending it to Emily so she can put it on hers. I will send you a We Send It file after the show. Thank you to everyone. It has been absolutely brilliant. Stay safe out there, but keep retweeting the truth. People have said, how do we get the truth out? Keep retweeting it.
Keep posting those stats, man. I mean, people, I know you can't post them enough. People are ignoring them. Just keep posting those dang stats.
Well, yes, exactly. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to close it down here tonight. Thank you to everyone. But as always, thank you to Emily. She's been superb. Thank you to Jason. And thank you to everyone in the chat. Together as a community, we made this a record-breaking stream. We certainly needed a white pill like that. But thank you to everyone in the live chat. This is why we do this, this amazing community. Thank you so very much. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. I love you all. And I'll see you same time next week. Have a great rest of your week.